God is now turned to Psalm 28. If you would, please. Psalm 28, in the Old Chapter, says the word of the Lord to you, his people. A psalm of David. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people, and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, and bear them up forever. Bless us. Father God in heaven, we, like David, do live in wicked times. There is wickedness all around us. So, Lord, we do need your encouragement. We do need you to be our strength and our deliverer. So as we hear your word preached, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us in our faith. Help us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that your kingdom is here and is still coming, and that you will not fail. Give us, Lord, the strength and the desire and the faith to live faithfully in a time of wickedness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Well, back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, God cursed the serpent, the devil. And part of that curse was there would be enmity between his seed and the woman's seed. This was a prophetic curse speaking of the constant battle that there was going to be from that time forward until the end of time here on earth. Between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Between God's people and the people of the devil. And there are those two groups of people. And this is what we see happening here in Psalm 28. David is recognizing that he is surrounded by people who are wicked. People who are hypocrites. People who do not recognize God nor the works of his hands. And this is the world that David found himself in. This is the world that has been going on since the time of Satan's temptation of Adam and Eve, and when they fell into sin. This is the time, this is the way the world has been throughout history. There is wickedness all around. And it is our world today as well. We see the wicked oftentimes ramping up their wickedness, and sometimes it can be hard to bear. There are different periods of our lives and of our history where wickedness seems to be overwhelming and seems to be winning the day. And if we did not have this book, God's Word, to remind us of what he is doing in history, how wickedness has always been around and God has always been working through his Son Jesus Christ for the sake of the church, we might lose hope. But we are not to lose hope, because God gives us his Word to strengthen us in our faith, that we might walk faithfully in a wicked world. Now, we are not told exactly what scenario in David's life is causing him to write this psalm. It could have been his recognition of the battles between these two kingdoms that continue to go on, as I've described, or it could have been the days of his life where his son Absalom, who pretended to be on his side, was setting himself up to take the kingdom. And fulfilling the words of David here when he speaks about people who speak peace to their neighbors, the evil is in their hearts. David might have been writing in a general way about his son Absalom and what he was up to, as he set himself up to take David's throne, but acting like he was on David's side. Whether it is David's acknowledgement of the general situation of the world or a particular and difficult time in his life, what David is telling us is that he is in great distress about this. So what then is a person who has the Lord as his God supposed to do in times of wickedness? And I would say to you that you are to practice faith in God in the very midst of wickedness. And David does this in two ways. First, in verses 1 to 5, we see David lamenting about wickedness in this time of wickedness. He is lamenting about it, grieving over it. And then verses 6 to 9, we see him praising God for his answers to his prayers. So let's look at verses 1 to 5. In the realm of faith, there is room for lamenting. There is room for crying out to God because of distress, whether it be national or in general or particular to your life. There is room for lamenting and crying out to the Lord because of distress, even about your own personal life. There is room for that in the Christian life. It's okay to cry out to God and say, things are really bad, and I don't know what to do. Things are really bad, and if you don't help me, I am lost, and I will not survive. And that's what David is saying here in verses 1 through 5. But David is not losing hope. He's not losing faith. We see him crying out to God. He's not crying out to the world. He's not crying out to gods in general. He's crying out to his God, to his Lord. And he says in verse 1, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. And so David is demonstrating faith even in the midst of his lamenting, even in the midst of his grieving. He cries out to his covenant-keeping God, who knows it's his rock. In the midst of this wicked situation, he's not trusting in his own strength to bring him down, but in the Lord, his rock. And in verse 2, he pleads for God not only to hear him, but to respond to him, to let him know that he's hearing. I wonder if we pray like that. I wonder if we often just pray to God and then don't call on God to speak to us, to show us, to reveal himself to us. Well, David is saying, I'm not only calling out to you, but I need to hear back from you. I need to see you working. I need to know that you are hearing my prayers. I need to hear your voice, because if you are silent to me, which is another way of saying, if you don't respond, then I'll go down to the pit just like everybody else. So here again, David is displaying his faith in God, and he wants God to respond to him. And that's what true faith does. It seeks to know that God hears us and that God will take action. Because David knows that if God does not hear him, he might as well give up. He has no hope if God is not going to act on his behalf. David says, do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, become like those who go down to the pit. This could be part of David's prayer, where he was just initially telling God how much he needs to hear from him, how much he needs to see him act. But you notice that David does not give up. He does not give God rest. In verse 2, he says, hear the voice of my supplications, plural. Hear me when I cry out to you over and over again, when I cry to you with my voice, and when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. David said, I am going to keep coming. I am going to keep bringing these supplications to you, and I need to hear from you. Wickedness is all around me. It is the one thing that David wants at this point, is to hear from the Lord. Because it is his only hope in the midst of wicked times. And this is what godly people do in the midst of wickedness. We do not give up. We do not stop praying. We do not stop praying for governments to be changed. We do not stop praying for governments to change their wicked ways, though they have not changed their wicked ways for decades. We do not stop praying for these things. We keep going like that persistent widow. We keep praying that God would stop our adversaries. That's what faith does in the midst of wickedness. We pray because we know by faith that God does hear us. We see it in His Word. We hear it promised to us over and over again. We pray and we keep on praying until we hear from God. Just like that persistent widow who would not give up until the judge ruled in her favor. Does that characterize your life of faith? I know we pray a lot. I think of my own life, and I think of times when I have lifted something up to the Lord once and then just walked away from it. But here we have the persistent widow. We have David going back and back again with supplications, with cries to the Lord. Not only praying for these things, but asking the Lord to speak the word on our behalf. And I'm not saying asking the Lord to say something audible, but to show us, Lord, that You're working here. To show us, to give us something that we can see You working. But God doesn't always do that. Even as we looked at Luke chapter 18, when we look back there and we see what Jesus said to them after He gave them this parable, He said in verse 7, "And shall not God avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them?" God is going to deliver His elect who cry out day and night, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen the day we cry. And that's the way it was for that persistent widow. The judge heard the first time, and He didn't respond. But she kept coming back, and He responded. And so it is, Jesus tells us that God will deliver us. He will avenge us, though He may bear long with us. It may be a while. And so we have God's Word to teach us by faith to believe that He is acting. But we don't necessarily get it just today when we want it, because God is doing more in other people's lives and our life than we may see. And so some of these other things are happening at the same time that we are calling upon God to save and deliver us from it. In verse 3, David calls on God's mercy to save him. He says, "Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity." David knows that he is not sinless in and of himself. He also knows that God will take the workers of iniquity away in His judgment. David is acknowledging that. That is what they are looking forward to. That's what they have to look forward to, that God will judge them and send them away. But when we're praying against our enemies, it is always a good thing to remember that we too need to have mercy shown to us, because we too have wickedness in us. David is praying and describing the wicked in their actions, but he prefaces it with a plea for God's mercy upon himself, because he knows he needs that mercy. He knows he needs that mercy and grace. So as we're getting ready to see here, as we've already read, whenever you come to be led by God's Spirit to lament over the wickedness that's around you, do not forget to lament over your own wickedness. Do not forget that part. And do not forget to call upon God for mercy and grace. In the latter part of verse 3 and verse 5, David describes the wickedness around him. In verse 3, he says, "Those who speak peace to their neighbors, that evil is in their hearts." In verse 5, "Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up." In verse 3 here, there is a lack of genuineness, a lack of sincere and honesty among the people. They do not regard the works of the Lord. And this is another way of saying they do not think of the Lord. They do not think of His actions. And they think there is nothing to worry about, no accountability for them in their wicked actions, because there is no Lord to judge them. They think He is not there watching their every deed and knowing their hearts. They have no regard for the Lord or the works He does. No regard that He is the Creator. No regard that He is the Judge. No regard for His grace and mercy, in which they are in great need of. It's these things that David saw all around him that caused him to lament. not only that they treat each other wickedly, but they ignore the very works of the Lord. And I wonder if this causes us to lament. And we look at people and we see the wickedness around us. Do we lament that our country is drowning in its wickedness? And we're not the country that we used to be, as people say? Or do we lament that our country is ignoring the Lord and the works of His hands? Is that what really bothers us? That the people that we're around do not live for the glory of God? David is lamenting that the glory of God is not being recognized, that the work of the Lord is being ignored. So we have to ask ourselves, what causes us to lament? Do we lament that our taxes are being raised, that the economy is sinking? Do we lament that our government makes poor choices about how they handle one crisis to the next? Or are we lamenting that the work of the Lord is being ignored? David is lamenting that. And that's what we should be lamenting. God goes to great lengths to let people know He is the Lord. He has revealed Himself in all His creation, and people ignore His works of creation. He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to show His grace and mercy, and yet people ignore Him and His works of grace and mercy. How grateful we ought to be that the grace and mercy of the Lord has been extended to us. But how much we should be lamenting that others are ignoring that. This should cause us to lament. To cry out to God to bring justice to those who will continue in rebellion against Him. We should be praying for the lost, but we should also be praying for those who ignore the Lord and His works, who continue in rebellion, and who won't believe that ultimately God's justice will be brought to them and their wickedness subdued. That's how we look at this passage. We can pray for the destruction of God's enemies, His ultimate enemies who will never come to faith in Him. And this is what we pray in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, praying, "Thy kingdom come." Now that sounds like a great prayer, and it is a great prayer. Well, think about what you're praying for. You are praying for one kingdom to have victory over another. And in that kingdom are people. And when one kingdom dies, that means people die. When one kingdom is subdued, that means people are subdued. When one kingdom is judged by the superior kingdom, that means people are judged. So do not think that you cannot pray for the destruction of the wicked. We pray for the lost that they may be saved, but those who will not submit themselves to God and have their hearts subdued by the Lord Jesus Christ, they are part of that kingdom that Thy kingdom come is going to be advancing over. So what we're praying for is nothing that the Lord is not doing already. And this is what David is praying for in verse 4. As he describes the wicked in verses 3 and 5, here is his prayer in verse 4. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Why? Because they have ignored the work of the Lord's hands. So David uses this play on words. Well, then give them according to the work of their hands. This prayer of David's is not out of place for David. It's not out of place for us as Christians. It is the thing the Lord will be doing. When you read Romans 6:23 and you read these words, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that statement, Paul is saying for those who persist in not trusting in the work of the Lord, their wages will be eternal death. And that's what we're praying for, that God will be victorious over all His enemies, but also that those who repent of their sin and turn to the Lord will receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So for those who disregard the works of God in Jesus Christ, they will suffer the curse of eternal death. For those who regard and believe by faith in the work of God, they will receive the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus himself said in John 6:29, the work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. To disregard that work is to suffer eternal death. That's what David is looking at. That's what David is praying for, that God would have victory over his enemies. And so praying during the midst of wickedness, where wicked people are all around you, lamenting their wickedness and disregard for God and his saving work, is a faithful practice of the one who has the Lord as his God. It is a faithful practice. But there is also another faithful practice that we see here that we are to take up during times of wickedness, and that is to be praising God with sounds of joy. And that is what we see David doing in verses 6 to 9. Praising God in times of wickedness. The one thing that we're not given here is any change in David's situation. We don't know if something different has happened that would cause David to go from lamenting to praising God. Just like us. 100 years ago, there was great wickedness in our world. 200 years, 300 years, 1,000 years ago, there was great wickedness. You may think that wickedness is greater than it's ever been in our lifetime. That is factually just not true. There have been more wicked periods of history than we see in our lifetime, though it may seem bad in many fronts. But every generation thinks that this is the most wicked time of all. But we need to know how to live in times of wickedness, because it will be with us until the Lord returns. And though we don't see anything change about David's situation, we do see something change about David. Where he was lamenting about the wicked and they're ignoring God, now in the midst of this wickedness, he is praising the Lord. And why is he doing that? Look at verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. Now he is praising the Lord. He has not given up on his prayer. Just because the answer may be sometimes delayed, David did not give up. So we keep on praying and trusting in him to do what he has promised to do. And that's what David says here. My heart trusted in him. So he went from lamenting, by faith, lamenting about the wickedness, and they're ignoring the Lord, to praising the Lord because he realized his heart was not trusting in him, and he is God. True faith does not turn away from God in wicked times, but turns to him. Trusting in him to deal with the wicked in God's way, in God's time, and praising the Lord in the midst of it. And that is what we are called to do as well. God enables us to rejoice in our hearts that the kingdom of God is coming and the Lord's will be done. And that's what we were singing about in Psalm 145. The Lord's kingdom is coming. The Lord's kingdom is here, and it will be for all generations. Even though it may look like the wicked are winning, they are not. God is using their wickedness even for their own judgment. For even when the wicked rise up, even when the wickedness increases with every generation experiencing this, we can trust him and we can praise him. Why? Because of this book. Because this book teaches us and tells us and shows us the mighty works of God throughout history and how during all times of different kinds of wickedness, God was there for his people. And his church is still here today. His kingdom is still here today. And it will be, as we sang, for all generations. Every generation is going to experience wickedness. But the church in all its generations will be experiencing the kingdom of God. What does that mean when it says the kingdom of God will last for all generations? It means God is bringing about his purposes. God is carrying out his will in the life of his people. He will accomplish his purposes. The wicked cannot withstand the work of the Lord. They will either submit to him and become one of his people and be saved, or they will submit to him in his judgment and be destroyed. And that's what David says in the last part of verse 5. He shall destroy them. He will not build them up. This is the destiny for the wicked. But in the midst of that time, and before that time comes about, ultimately, David turns his thoughts to praise to God for what he will do. He knows he's not the only one who lives in the land of the wicked as well. In verses 8 and 9, he turns his attention away from himself to the people of God. The people of God, David lifts up the people of God to the Lord that he may minister. The Lord may minister to them in wicked times. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people. Bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. You don't pray this kind of prayer in times of ease and comfort. You pray this kind of prayer when people are suffering, when God's people are under persecution and pressure. David knows there are people with weaknesses, with fears, with doubts, with trust issues. People who are facing difficult times at the hands of the wicked. And though we may not be experiencing that kind of time here in our culture, there are Christians throughout the world who this psalm speaks to them loudly. And they're praying this prayer. It is a prayer that we must be praying as well for the people of God. And just as David intercedes for God's people here, we have a picture of Christ and his intercession for God's people. David is dead. He's done praying for God's people. But Christ continues to intercede for his people. He is always making intercession for them. And in John 17, we see Christ praying for his people in a very similar way that David prayed here. Look at what David prayed in verse 9. Save your people, bless your inheritance, shepherd them, and bear them up forever. In John 17, verses 2 to 3, Christ prayed that all those whom God had given him would be saved to eternal life. In verse 15, that God would keep them from the evil one. Christ prayed that we would be blessed in asking God to keep us and sanctify his truth forever. Christ prayed that God would shepherd us and bear us up as the world is against us for following his word. That's what John 17 was about. God's people were in the world. The world hated them. The world hated Christ. And Christ was praying for them that God would bear them up, that God would shepherd them, and God would keep them, and keep them from the evil one. This evil one who is behind all evil, and it is his children who oppose the works of God in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to save his people. And so David did then, and Christ is now interceding for us, that we may be saved, that we may be blessed, that we may be born up, that we may be shepherded forever. This is what Christ is praying for you, his people. This is what David prayed for, and this is what faith does in wicked times. It doesn't give up praying. It doesn't give up trusting in God. True faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, watching him, seeing him go to the cross, seeing him suffer at the hands of wicked people, reminds us that that is our calling as well. That God, like he did not abandon Christ, will not abandon us. He is our refuge. He is our strength, as David says here in verse 8. Faith in Jesus Christ, true faith, the person who is living by faith, in the midst of wicked times, will lament the wickedness towards God and praise God for his deliverance in saving his people. So in accordance with his word, we can pray this way. We can sing this psalm, and we can know that even though we see wickedness all around us, all the time, in every direction, that his kingdom is coming, and he will do his will according to his purposes. That's what keeps us in the midst of wicked times. Knowing that God is so sovereign over all things. Yes, we should be lamenting the proper things, that people are ignoring God. And we should be praising God that he is saving a people for himself in the midst of wickedness. And so we can say with David, we can practice our faith in the midst of wickedness. And we can say these words: the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I shall praise him. That is the walk of faith in the midst of wickedness. May God help us to do this for his glory. May he be glorified as we lament over sin towards him and praise him for his deliverance in the midst of wickedness. Father God in heaven, we do live in wicked times. Wickedness, Lord, has been on the earth ever since the fall of man, and even before, with the devil falling as an angel of light. Lord, how thankful we are for you, our rock and our shield, our strength and our shepherd. So, Lord, we pray that having heard your word, you will help us, Lord, to lament over the wickedness that is shown toward you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and also praise you in the midst of it, that you are sovereign, and you are our shepherd, and you will deliver us. We ask you to help us in this way, in Jesus' name.